Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Antunes Correa et al. Titled, Molecular Basis for the Improvement in Muscle Metaboreflex and Mechanoreflex Control in Exercise-Trained Humans with Chronic Heart Failure. This article published online October 10th, 2014. My guests today are Editor-in-Chief Irving Zucker, Lead Author Carlos Negrao, and Expert Vaughn Macefield. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara, and thank you, Carlos and Vaughn, for participating today. Sympathoexcitation is a hallmark of the heart failure state. Pharmacological treatment with ACE inhibitors and angiotensin receptor blockers and beta blockers may impact sympathetic function to some extent, but generally do not normalize it. Abnormal excitatory cardiovascular reflexes may contribute to sympathoexcitation. One of these reflexes, the so-called exercise pressor reflex, is augmented in patients and animals with chronic heart failure. Thus, the study being discussed today. Carlos, could you start us off by briefly summarizing what was found, what the rationale was, and what the main findings were in this study?
In the present study, we tested the hypothesis that exercise training alters the muscle metaboreflex and mechanoreflex control of muscle sympathetic nerve activity in heart failure patients. In addition, we studied the alterations of the metaboreflex control is accompanied by increased expression of GRPV1 and CB1 receptors in skeletal muscle. Finally, the alterations in mechanoreflex control is accompanied by COX-2 pathway in skeletal muscle. The main findings of our study was that in heart failure patients, exercise training increased muscle metaboreflex control of muscle sympathetic nerve activity, which is accompanied by an increase in expression in GRPV1 and CB1 receptors. In addition, we found that in a heart failure patient, exercise training decreased the muscle mechanoreflex control of sympathetic nerve activity, which is accompanied by a decrease in expression of COX-2, EP4 receptors, TP1 receptors, and the ratio NF-kappa-B, IKB alpha, and increase in microRNA 146 in skeletal muscle. The net effect of exercise training on this reflex system is an increase in muscle sympathetic nerve activity, 20-30% isometric leg exercise, which is not accompanied by an increase in blood pressure and heart rate, surprisingly. In fact, the change in these hemodynamic parameters provoked by exercise tends to be decreased by exercise training. This finds support the concept that abnormalities in the skeletal muscle underlying the abnormal reflex response during exercise in humans with heart failure, and most importantly, suggests that these abnormalities are reversible by exercise training. We concluded that exercise training alters muscle metaboreflex and mechanoreflex control of muscle sympathetic nerve activity in heart failure patients. This alteration with exercise training is accompanied by alteration in GRPV1 and CB1 expression and a COX-2 pathway and inflammation in skeletal muscle.
Thank you, Carlos. It was a nice summary. Vaughn, you've recorded sympathetic nerve activity in many, many subjects. I wonder if you could comment on the impact, importance of these results, especially as it relates to the ability of these patients to be able to do physical work.
Thank you, Irv. Yes, I really enjoyed reading this study. As we all know, sympathoexcitation is a very pronounced feature of heart failure. And what is interesting, as has been found before, is that MSNA does go down following exercise. Therefore, exercise is good for us all, especially those with heart failure. But what I found intriguing was that, as Carlos points out, that despite the augmented increase in MSNA during post-exercise circulatory arrest, The increase in blood pressure was blunted in the heart failure patients. And I'm wondering whether Carlos thinks this is related to changes in vascular transduction in heart failure, and whether techniques used by Paul Feidel, for instance, would be able to uncover these effects.
Right. Carlos, do you want to respond to that?
Yes. I think we have two possibilities. The first one is because the medications, which can explain the blunted response, hemodynamic response. And another possibility is because we just measure muscle sympathetic nerve activity. We don't know what's going on with other sites with sympathetic outflow.
That's a good comment, Carlos. The other major implications of these studies are molecular changes that occur, both the TRPV1 and the COX-2 that you found. Could you speculate a little bit on where these proteins are being changed, especially the TRPV1, which transduces some of the metabolic signals into activity and afferents?
The best answer to that is that then we saw in TRPV1 and CB1. So this increased with exercise training, but it's too much speculation try to answer some metabolic stuff in this case, but maybe associated with some improvement in skeletal myopathy as protein synthesis degradation, and maybe associated too with some calcium handling in skeletal muscle, which we know is impaired in heart failure patients. But this is all that we can say with our study.
So here's a question for either of you. I thought one of the interesting things in the study was that the metaboreflex response to post-circulatory arrest was actually enhanced following exercise training. And I wonder if either Carlos or Vaughn could speculate on what potential mechanisms might be at play there. Vaughn?
It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Because the TRPV1 expression was reduced, which to me is somewhat counterintuitive. And I wonder if pain sensitivity in the muscle was also induced. I mean, Carlos, did you assess, using our algometry, whether their muscles are less susceptible to painful stimuli?
This is a possible limitation in our study. We know that during this maneuver to isolate individual efferent limbs of the skeletal muscle, during the pressure response, have been used for decades, but it's likely then it's not pure. For instance, post-exercise circulatory rest may also stimulate nociceptive fibers and cause pain. But to address this possibility, circulatory rest without previous exercise was conducted in 3 heart failure patients to detect the effects, if any, on efferent muscle sympathetic nerve activity. And we found no significant change in muscle sympathetic nerve activity under these conditions. Further, no heart failure patients complained of pain during the post-exercise circulatory maneuver, which was completed in all study participants. So we think then we could isolate this criticism regarding to the other stimulus besides the metabolic ones.
Well, this has been a great discussion, and this is a very interesting and provocative paper, I think. I just throw out one other idea here as food for thought. In animal experiments, we and others have shown that cardiac afferents, cardiac sympathetic afferents, which also respond to metabolic stimuli, the response is actually enhanced, and TRPV1 receptors are upregulated in the thoracic dorsal root ganglia of animals following myocardial infarction. So there may be heterogeneity in terms of which kinds of afferents from which areas of the body are inputting to the central nervous system. And I think that's something that it'd be very difficult to study in humans, but worthwhile thinking about.
That's a very interesting point, and we know that MSNA increases more during static hand grip exercise than leg exercise, and we also know that occluding arterial supply, and we've done it for 6 minutes without any exercise, does not increase MSNA, and in which case you don't see pain. But in our experience, hand grip exercise and post-exercise ischemia in particular are very, very painful. So it may well be that the noxious inputs and metalloreceptor inputs coming from the upper limbs have a greater effect than those from the lower limbs.
Well, great. I think we've covered the spectrum here, and I want to thank both of you for participating. Kara, back to you.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.